If you follow the stats or if you recognize trends, the church population seems to be aging. It's the elephant in the room. We wish our children and grandchildren came to church, but many of them don't. Fewer and fewer people, 40 and younger, just aren't interested in church, even after they start a family like they used to. I know there's a lot to compete with. Modern conveniences the church can't compete with. There's lots of other things to do on the weekends. The church has a lot of bad PR these days. And the message and churchy language aren't always understandable. They don't always relate. Whether we talk about it or not, I know there's anxiety in the pews about this. How do we appeal to those who aren't interested in church? How can we reach folks who never darken the doors of the sanctuary? How do we share the message of love and hope to our friends? Our 21st century seems so far removed from the early church at times. However, if we look closely at today's scripture, our reading from Acts, we might begin to recognize that we're not that much different than the early church. Paul's in this great Roman city of Athens, where they have incredible modern conveniences and many distractions. The last thing anybody needs is the church or Jesus Christ. They have bathhouses and stadiums with great gladiatorial battles and sports. They have incredible shows and great entertainment in their theaters. The Greek and Roman gods dominate the Roman and Greek culture, and the Christian PR is either non-existent or not that great. It doesn't take too much to discover that the church has always faced competition with culture. Certainly these days we might have Netflix and club sports, but Paul's message, the speech he gives to the Athenians, is shared to an audience that's very similar to us today. It's a lesson for all of us Christians on how to witness Christ's message to people when culture dominates. So today, we not only get to see and hear Paul in action, but we can learn from him. We get to sit at the feet of a master learning from one of the best evangelists there is. Paul has this ability to bridge the gap like no one else. He provides an outline or tools for us to reach people outside the church. And since the Athenians aren't so much different from Americans today, we just have to figure out the basics of his message. We can break down his message, I've figured it out, in 3 points. We need to first listen carefully to the culture. We have to look for openings into people's hearts. And then when there is an opening, we must be bold in our sharing. When Paul's in Athens, he notices all these statues of the gods, a city full of idols. He recognized that the Athenians were very religious, and while Paul may have been distressed to see a city full of idols, he didn't lead with that distress. Rather, he led with something new. They knew. When he comes into the town, he starts paying attention to these details, and Paul studies this town carefully, and he looks beyond the statues. And he starts reading what's inscribed on them. The Athenians are so religious, they even have an altar, it says, to an unknown god. And he uses it in his speech to share about Christ, who's an unknown god to them. Paul listens carefully to the culture. He's listening. And when he speaks to the Athenians, he doesn't share words of condemnation or judgment. Instead, he listens to their culture so that they might actually listen to him, which reminds us that we too must listen carefully to our culture. Centuries ago, there was a debate in the church about having choirs. It was a huge controversy in the church, if you can believe it. A lot of people felt like the church was appealing to the culture of the day. They were afraid it made church seem too much like a concert. Churches even started producing bulletins, which looked a lot like a playbill for a performance, and some scoffed. Yet the churches that provided choirs at the time were listening carefully, much like Paul teaches us to listen carefully to our culture. Today, it's hard for us to imagine having church without a choir, and that it was even a controversy at the time. We certainly would be wise to listen carefully to our culture so that our culture might just listen to the message that we share. Now, after listening, the next thing Paul teaches us is to look for openings. We have to look for the openings into the hearts of people. In Acts 17:28, we hear Paul say something that isn't actually found in Hebrew Scripture. He says, "In him we live and move and have our being." It comes from Greek literature and poetry. Today we might hear this line in Christian music. We put it on signs. We hear pastors pray it. "In him we live and move and have our being." And we associate the hymn with Jesus Christ, which is what Paul cleverly intends, not just for the Athenians, but for us. This line is something all Greeks would have known, and this is exactly how Paul reaches their hearts. Paul uses their language to witness about Christ. And if you look carefully in this passage, if you look very carefully, Paul never actually says the name Jesus in his speech. Instead, he uses their words. It's an opening into their heart. We have all kinds of places in our community where we're not allowed to talk about Jesus. Anything that's federally funded, like schools or preschools, or there's even places where it's just not smart to talk about religion. So we must look for other ways, for openings into people's hearts. It can happen in more than one way, of course, in ways other than through words. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I didn't have much choice to go to church. I had to go. In high school, the church had a huge youth group, probably 40 or 50 kids, and I started going. In fact, eventually, I wanted to go on my own. The thing that kept drawing me back to the church, back to youth group, had nothing to do with worship or sermons or music. For me, in that youth group, there were a lot of girls in the youth group. I was a super nerd in high school. I didn't date anybody. But the draw for me to go to church were these nice, cute, friendly girls at youth group. Somehow, it became an opening, something that drew me. And then eventually, the other things started becoming important, the acceptance and the grace, the prayers, and my faith started to grow. But I had to have that opening. We live in an interesting time. There's lots of folks who fit the description of being spiritual but not religious. Many recognize a higher power but don't want to be confined by religion. Organized religion seems too politicized or judgmental or problematic. In fact, this spiritual but not religious is scaring pastors and churches everywhere because we don't know how to handle it. But the truth of the matter is the church has seen this many, many times before. Now we could condemn or judge or say these folks have it all wrong, or instead we could engage and listen by using language they know. That means we must be willing to learn and to care and study our culture. We must have relationships with folks and care enough. In fact, it might just open our hearts to experience God in new ways. So we must pray not first for those outside the church, but rather for us, so that we might notice those openings. Our mission statement starts by saying that we're more than a building. So we shouldn't be worried if people aren't coming into the building. If we're more than a building, those openings of people's hearts doesn't just happen here in this place. It can happen anywhere. The Holy Spirit cannot be contained. It's loose in our world, in federally funded schools, in countries that prohibit Christianity. All we have to do is pay attention to the openings that people share with us. A lot of times, all we have to do is show up or care for our neighbors when they need it. Now, the last point, finally, after listening and noticing these open hearts, Paul is bold and unafraid, and probably most importantly, prepared to share. He isn't afraid to tell folks about how God interacts in the world. He doesn't water it down. He might not use Jesus' name, but he's gentle as a southerner who says, "Bless your little heart." It might be subtle, but it isn't watered down. Paul's bold and prepared to share the hope and the grace and love of Christ. Now, how many of us are prepared? How many of us are prepared to share when that opening comes? What happens when a friend of ours is struggling? We might say that we're praying for them, but how many of us take the time to actually pray with them in that moment? Are we prepared? There's a video on the Presbyterian website about evangelism. Reverend DeJong is standing next to this self-serve soda fountain. He shares that when he was a kid, he remembers when these self-serve soda fountains first came up, and it was the first time, he says, that he wasn't limited to just one flavor. He and his brother tried them all together. He'd put one bit of Coke and then A&W and Sprite and Mountain Dew and orange all together in one cup. And they created this cocktail that they and their friends called this thing, they called it a kamikaze. I don't know if you've ever tried one of those when it first came out. I know my dad tries those every once in a while. And he says it didn't take long for them to discover that more isn't always better. It certainly was thrilling to try something completely different, but these drinks weren't ever intended to all be mixed together. He only ever tried it a few times. Somehow, it was never satisfying. This kamikaze wasn't the real thing. And he goes on to say, in the same way, in our time, in postmodernism, people are doing this also with religion, taking a little bit of Hinduism maybe, or Buddhism, a little bit of Islam and Christianity, a little bit of hedonism. Spiritual, but not religious. Folks are creating their own religion in a sense. Why seek the truth when you can create your own truth? However, the reality is more isn't always better. It's not always satisfying. So the bold message we have to share isn't one of condemnation or judgment. When we discover someone reaching out for something satisfying again and again and again, we can share the one thing that satisfies us. We can share the hope and the love and life that Jesus Christ completely satisfies us with. That God fills the empty spaces, and even though it's not always easy, we don't trust in those times when the economy wavers. We don't put our trust in a government that blows with the wind. We're not transformed by a mixture of our own religions. The truth is, the world and our own truth will never satisfy. And we must be bold and even prepared to share that God satisfies us and fills us, that Jesus Christ is the real thing. People are spiritually hungry, and sometimes that's the opening. We must use the language they know and share your experience, and then God can do the rest. Now, this isn't a short-term strategy. This is a long-term strategy. This isn't a quick fix. God works through people like you and me. Think about how you came to faith. there was probably a person who you looked to, who you watched. Maybe not just one person, but maybe several. It didn't just happen out of thin air. There was someone who shared with you, or someone who taught you, who was an example. That's how God works, through relationships, through people. God works through you and your relationships. And we can only do these things through relationships. This isn't a message for strangers. Now, think about your relationships, your family, your coworkers, neighbors, or friends. Think about the folks filling their lives with things that might leave them unsatisfied. Are you listening carefully, or are you looking for openings? Not to manipulate, but to share hope and love and acceptance, to share things that satisfy the love and peace of Jesus Christ. You don't even have to use Jesus' name when you share it. You can use words like hope and love, or acceptance and family, or character and peace. This certainly isn't an easy time for our church, but luckily we're not facing something brand new. The Apostle Paul gives us this outline to help us share the message of love and hope. Paul isn't doing the impossible. As long as we learn from him, we'll be able to adapt it for us today. We shouldn't run from our culture. Instead, we should listen and learn and connect. We should listen to the music and read the books. We should watch the movies and look at the news. And then we must start praying, not for others, but for ourselves, that we might recognize an opening of our friend's heart with those people we're already in relationship with. Those openings are there. And we're in this for the long game. We just have to recognize it. And then when those come, we must be bold and prepared in sharing that we've seen real acceptance, real hope, and real love. That's what's satisfying. Because the truth is, we're more than a building. God's at work everywhere. All we have to do is open our eyes and our ears. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.